All right, let's start with a quiz. Engage your mind before we get into the story found in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Phil, finish this statement. Absence makes the heart grow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, still, that's good. Good. How about this? An apple a day keeps the... Yep. A penny for your... And a rose between two... A rose between two thorns is exactly what we find in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And Nabal was one thorn, David was a second thorn, and there's a woman by the name of Abigail as the rose right in the middle of those two thorns. Now Nabal, he was an irrational fool. He was a selfish, irrational fool. David, he was a hungry hothead. And then there's Abigail. And she's the hero of the story. Here's how the story goes. 1 Samuel chapter 25. I'm going to set the table, and then we're going to get into reading some of the verses in there. But David, he's on the run. David, and we'll find out in the story, the 600 men that were following him. David, he's on the run, and here's why. Because Saul, he was the positional king of Israel, but David was the anointed king of Israel. So Saul, he held the position, but God left him. You know, God, he lived in such a way that God just could not bless him. So Saul, he's the positional leader in Israel, but David, he's the anointed leader in Israel. So Saul, his heart is full of jealousy and envy. So he's chasing David all over the place to take his life. That's the setting. So David and his traveling companions, they're living in the desert, and what they're doing is they're acting as a hedge of protection around the herds of this man, Nabal. Now, Nabal had to know what was going on, but he just was selfish and saw life through his own lenses, so he didn't give David the credit. But David, he's providing a fence, a hedge of protection around Nabal's flock. And Nabal is a wealthy man. 1 Samuel chapter 25 tells us that Nabal had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep. Now, that is a wealthy person in the Old Testament. I'm glad I didn't have to care for 4,000 animals this morning before I came to church, but Nabal is a wealthy, wealthy man. So David, he's in the desert providing a hedge of protection around Nabal's investments. Well, David and his men, they grow hungry. And David recruits 10 young men, and these 10 men go to Nabal and just said, Nabal, we would like provisions so we can eat. Well, David and his 600 following companions, they're providing a wonderful service for Nabal, but Nabal says no. Not going to provide any food for that army of 600 people. Well, those 10 young men, they come back, they tell David, and David is absolutely furious. And one of Nabal's servants catches wind of the conflict, and we begin to read in verse 12, 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 12. David's men, they turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. And David said to his men, David's a hungry hothead, put on your swords. So they put on their swords, and David put on his. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Nabal's wife Abigail, there's the rose. David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us all the time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. So Nabal, he's one thorn. He's selfish. He just sees life through his own personal selfish lens. And he said, no, I'm not going to send provisions out to David and his army, no matter how good they are. So Nabal is one thorn. And David, he's a second thorn. He has an army with swords ready to wipe out Nabal and his whole household. And then there's the Abigail, the rose, in the middle. Let's pick up the story, verse 18. Abigail lost no time. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Verse 20. As she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending toward her, and she met them. On her way with these provisions, Abigail meets up with David and his 400-man army. He's on his way to wipe out Nabal, who is Abigail's wife. Reading at 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 23, we read this. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "My Lord, let the blame be on me alone. Please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. May my Lord pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my master sent. Now, since the Lord has kept you, my master, from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my master be like Nabal. And let this gift, which your servant has brought to my master, be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master, because he fights the Lord's battles. Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live." Nabal is one thorn. David is a second thorn. And Abigail, she comes into the picture, comes into that story, and says, "Let the blame be on me. Let me take the blame." She does that, and then she brings provision for David and his men. She's a rose between two thorns, where some people would say that's an unwinnable situation. All of a sudden, Abigail begins to rise into that story and change the narrative of that entire story. First of all, she protected her husband from his foolish past. Not only that, she's protecting David and his promising future, because David is the future king. Can you imagine if David would have followed through, wiped out Nabal and his whole household? He would have had to lead with a limp in his life for his entire time of service. Abigail rises at just the right time, protect her husband and also protect David's future. Now, we're going to lift out 4 principles from this 1 Samuel chapter 25 story. But before we do that, I'd like to give a leadership lesson. Leadership is just influence. All of us have influence. But people who make a difference in the world for good and who make a difference for God, they make hard decisions. They hold tough conversations. And they take responsibility. Those are three things that we see in Abigail. She made hard decisions. She was with Nabal, and she had to gather provisions and do all that work and confront David in a 400-man army. She had to make hard decisions, and she had to hold tough conversations. It would have been tough to get down off that donkey and put herself bowed down before David, who at that particular time in the story would have been one her enemy or her rival. But Abigail took responsibility. She said, I can change this narrative. God working through me might be able to take almost an impossible situation and do something good in it. And that's a leader, and that's the position that Abigail took in the story. Okay, four takeaways from the story. I trust maybe one of them would mean something to you. Between services, I was holding a conversation, and one gal said, Pastor, usually you are pretty easy to stay with, but this morning I just had a little bit of a hard time sticking with you. And she said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to read the 1 Samuel 25 story. And I thought, that's wonderful. That's good. So, you know, I looked through my notes. I've only been doing this. I've only been preaching on weekends for about 29 years. And it's the first time I've ever preached on Abigail. And so I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe I should have just had two takeaways or something. Maybe four is too much. But if there's something in here that you can take from this encounter from God's Word and put it into practice in your life through your influence, that'd be amazing. First takeaway, Abigail's story is convincing proof that God calls and gifts women. God calls and gifts women. The two thorns in that story needed a rose. One man, Nabal, one man, David, they needed an Abigail. And God calls and gifts women. We can go from cover to cover in the Bible. And God calls both men and both women. I was in a conversation with Trisha Taube this week. Trisha, her husband Mike, is a chaplain, and they're stationed, I believe it's in one of the Carolinas, and she listens in to the messages. So, Trisha, if this is the service we're taping and you're listening to, we're just glad you have tuned in this morning. But Trisha and I had a great conversation about this. It was kind of affirming on this takeaway in the passage of Scripture. And not everyone thinks that God calls and gifts women to do great things. All the way into the story and before that, God calls and gifts women. The Church of the Nazarene recognizes women preachers. I believe there's three women preachers in the district, in the Michigan district, that are speaking this morning in Nazarene churches. Women sit on decision-making boards. They lead classes. God calls and gifts women. You remove Abigail from this 1 Samuel chapter 25 story, and you have Nabal and David going right at it. God calls and gifts both men and women. Takeaway number two is this. Abigail's story illustrates the power of humility. Humility spots opportunity. Humility helps others succeed. And that's exactly what she did. Abigail saw an opportunity. Most people would see that situation, Nabal and David and the armies and those two coming to combine, and it would just seem like a hopeless situation. But Abigail, because she was humble before the Lord, she saw a great opportunity. She saw an opportunity to resolve this conflict that most were just strapping on their swords and getting ready to fight. And Abigail, because she was humble, she could spot opportunity. She could see some things that that others would miss. I love the, you might have to take time this afternoon and read it again, but I love the narrative of 1 Samuel chapter 25. Not only was she protecting Nabal in her household, but the narrative says that she was protecting David, because if David had went through with this, he would have led with a leadership limp his entire life. Because Abigail was humble. She silenced her enemies, satisfied her rivals. Here's the third takeaway. This is just food for thought. I'll spend maybe 3 or 4 minutes on this. It's really going to take a scriptural study. But I just want to put this thought that the Lord lifted up from this story. Abigail's story reveals fresh insight into the biblical practice of submission. When we keep it biblical, submission is a beautiful thing. But this story in 1 Samuel 25 gives us fresh insight to submission. We would take a look and say, well, Abigail, she was a true faithful wife, but she did not submit to her husband's sin. And she didn't submit to a future king's foolishness and stupidity. Abigail gives us a real good, true, biblical view of what submissions mean. Abigail was submissive to God first. There was a higher authority that Abigail had to submit to. Now, this is really important for every age, but it's like spiritual life and death in our day and age, because everybody that we come in contact with, they have an agenda. And if Abigail would have followed anybody's agenda but God's first, tragedy would have happened. And in the Bible, it talks about a positive submission to national leaders and local authorities and to teachers and to coaches and husbands and wives and to parents. And there's a positive submission, and there is blessing when we submit to the authorities that are put into our life. But biblical submission always begins with God. And the danger is, if it doesn't start with God, then bosses who have their own agenda set ours. Coaches who have their own agenda set ours. And all of a sudden, the earthly authorities have us running ourselves and our families ragged. And God doesn't want us to live that way. We are called by God to honor the authorities in our life. But God needs to be the supreme authority. And when God is the supreme authority of our life, we can succeed in any and every other arena. And Abigail, she was a wife. She was a faithful wife. But Nabal, he was selfish and a sinful fool. And Abigail was put in a real tough spot. What authority in her life would win? And because her ultimate authority was God, resolution came. Now, I know in 3 or 4 minutes it might raise more questions than it answers. And I just want to encourage you to go to the scripture. Find you know, where you land on this thing. There is such a thing as biblical submission, but our highest authority in our life, for life to work as it's supposed to work, our highest authority must be God. Abigail, here's one more takeaway. Abigail's story teaches that right knowledge plus positive action equals wisdom. Abigail, she collected information. She collected knowledge. The servant that came to her, she could have just brushed him off and say, well, he's just a servant. I don't have time to listen to him. But she took time and collected the knowledge, collected information, what was really going on in the story. So Abigail teaches that right knowledge plus positive action. Abigail took the knowledge, took the information that she had, devised a plan. She went out and collected all this food and packed them on the donkey. And so she listened. Right knowledge, positive action equals wisdom. You know, it doesn't take a wild imagination, does it, to imagine the fear that Abigail would have felt when she was riding out with her little band and a few little donkeys, and all of a sudden there's a 400-man army with swords strapped around them. I mean, there had to be fear. There had to be some anxiety there. But courage allowed her to go into that situation, get off of her mode of transportation, humbly present herself to David and present what she had found out, that it was true, that her husband had played a fool, and that her highest authority in her life was God. And she brought a plan and a resolution. In doing so, she protected her whole household and the reputation of God's chosen future king of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 25. A story of two thorns. In this story, they just happen to be men. Not every story. In the middle of those two thorns was a gal who trusted God, who held tough conversations, made tough decisions, and took on the responsibility. Age isn't a factor. Gender isn't a factor. God calls and gifts women, calls and gifts men, calls and gifts young boys, teenagers. But this story today in 1 Samuel chapter 25, we men in the room need to tip our hats and say, gals, thank you for making tough decisions. Thank you for submitting to God first. Because when you do that, you save people from their foolish past, and you save themselves for the legacy that they're building, God wants to build in their future. So gals, today, we tip our hats and say thank you for trusting and following Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word. An old, old story brought to life today. A lot there, a lot of principles, a lot of takeaways, a lot of truths, a lot of scriptures. We're just looking for the one insight that you've made clear. And you've focused our attention on that one. And Lord, we thank you that the Bible is filled cover to cover with kingdom heroes. People that at just the right time, the right season, they existed in this long line of life, and they trusted you and listened to you and with courage took their stand. Lord, today we're in that battle, each and every one of us. We are our brother and sister's keeper, helping people recover and save themselves and protect themselves from foolish decisions. And then put in places where we can protect the future legacy of people you are working in. Lord, Lord, thank you for bringing new life to an old, old story. And Lord, however you've decided to capture our attention today, maybe it's through this Bible story or a line that the worship team has led us in singing or will lead us into singing, and maybe a conversation between the services or after the service, whatever you have for us today, may we take it, talk to you about it, put it into practice tomorrow where you call us to go, and become even better followers than we've ever been before. God, we thank you today for your faithfulness. May your word be a great blessing to your people. In Jesus.